Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
So your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart, and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know, it's more than a feeling. Jesus said it in his word, you cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything, he'll make it all.
Welcome to Don't Give Up Radio. I am your host, Jackie Wayans, and we are now on Saturdays and Sundays, and I am really very, very excited to bring you this broadcast. I'm actually excited for everyone, that every episode that I bring to you, but this one is special. I try to focus on missions at least four times throughout the year, and the Lord really orchestrated this particular event as I met this young man in my home assembly. And as we were having for a meeting, you know, he was there and I found out about his story. And I said, this is one that has to be shared, because one of the things that we wonder is, you know, is God still working like he did in the Bible's days? You know, are people still getting saved? Are miracles still being done? Are people still going into the four corners of the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, and I live in New York City, in the inner city, and we see all these stories about our young men and about what's happening and what's not happening, and we wonder, well, what about our community? What about, you know, African Americans, or what about Hispanics? And, you know, are we on fire for the Lord? Are we going out and we're doing great things? And I'm just, you know, just excited to tell you that it doesn't matter the race, it doesn't matter your gender. The Lord is still moving in powerful ways, calling those who will hear his voice to people and let them know that he lives, and that they can have eternal life because he lives, and doing great things. So tonight, we're going to have Xavier with us. We're going to speak very clearly with him about how his journey began, and at the end, you're going to listen to how you can even support him in that. And of course, I asked you right at the top to support him with your prayers, because that is going to be the most important thing. Because as you know, as we go out to many of the third world countries or many countries who are not open to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it can have an element of danger to it. But you know what it has greater than danger is it has love. The love of Jesus Christ written all over that. And if you are motivated by love and pursued by love and driven by love, then the love of God will be on you, his protection will be with you, and you will not be worrying about fear, but only looking to hope. So it's the name of this show, to send hope to Asia, which is the territory that our guest will be going to. So Xavier, welcome to the show. Glad to have you.
Hello.
I mentioned that you're a native New Yorker. Yeah, you know, inner city. In fact, you grew up in my borough, Brooklyn. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. And so, you know, I know a little bit of what that was like for me, but what was it like for you? Tell us about growing up in Brooklyn, in East New York, and what your family was like. What were you like?
My parents, they desired for me to live a better life than some of my peers. And so what they did was they gave me a math book and a Game Boy at a very young age and said, hey, we want you to get involved with these. And so it worked out fairly well for me. I avoided a lot of the pitfalls that were common to a lot of the males in my neighborhood.
Tell me a little bit about whether or not you were, you know, was it a family of faith? Was it a Christian home, not a Christian home? How did you grow up in terms of your faith?
I didn't really grow up in a Christian home, per se. My mother is a believer, though she wanted my sister and I to develop our own faith. And so I didn't really hear much about God during my younger days. When I was in kindergarten, around the time I was 4 years old, I remember graduating kindergarten, and there was a reception for us graduates in this community center. And I remember just looking at the students and being frustrated. And so I went into a corner and started thinking in my own head. And what came to my mind was just the question, what is the point of life? I figured I was going to go to first grade and second grade, graduate grade school, and then go into college, graduate that, have a wife, a children, find a job and such, and then die. And I remember just thinking as a four-year-old that that life wasn't fair, and I didn't really want any part of it. But that started the process of me wondering if there was something more.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing that at 4 years old, you already were able to assess that just that pattern alone in life was futile. Like it really has no point to it. And so that's pretty amazing and kind of tells me that God was already giving you a special awareness and starting to groom you for a later conversation. When did that later conversation start to begin with you? Did you have any other encounters with him or church or Sunday school?
Around the time I was 8 years old or so, my mother wanted to take my sister and I to church a bit. It lasted for about a month or so. But I remember during some time in that month, the pastor at a church had an altar call and called various people to the front. And I remember standing up and being drawn to the front. I felt there was like a power or a presence there. I didn't quite understand. And so I got up there expecting for someone to explain to me exactly what I was feeling, if I was hallucinating or just, I didn't know what it was, honestly. But no one said anything, so I just walked back to my seat. But I look back now, and that was an experience that later drew me to God.
You know, it's so crucial what you're saying there, because a lot of times I believe, you know, the altar call, as you put it, is being made, that moment where the pastor says, you know, if you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come forward, and then a mass prayer is said. And oftentimes that's what you see. You see everyone just turn around and go back to their seat, and there's no counseling, no discipleship, no explanation of what that was. Because I love the way you said it. It was as if you were being called or pulled forward. There was something else. And the reality is, you know, the scripture says that the Lord loved us first. It's not that we loved him first, and that he's the one who placed it in our hearts to be drawn to him. And so, you know, people have that response, and they're being pulled forward, and yet there's no explanation. And without something solid to go on, you just kind of let it fall to the wayside, which you did. So when did you decide that you're going to revisit, you know, the quest to learn who God was?
It was when I was 17. I had just graduated high school and was accepted into a university. And I was just thinking to someone during that transition that it would be a great idea if in college I can go and maybe discover who God is, to see if he's real, speak with Christians and Muslims and people of other faiths, and to see for myself if God was real or not.
So you actually were an exceptional, outstanding student. You won many awards and even scholarships, full ride scholarships to the private school you were attending. So, you know, you had done really well academically, and I guess, you know, even from the way other kids perceive other kids, they might have even considered you the nerd or something like that. But, you know, that math book and Game Boy, like you said, it served you well. When you went off to college, did you, like most kids, just want to kind of explore your freedom and find out, you know, what it is to be a young adult living on their own for the first time? Like, what are some of the things you wanted to do that you never had the opportunity to do before?
Well, yeah, just like every other young adult, I definitely wanted to exercise a few freedoms that I had, just not being under my parents' roof. One of those things was just like speaking to females, and I tried a lot to speak to various girls, but I just really didn't have it in me. Where I was such a nerd, and I enjoyed Nintendo and various game systems, and I thank God that didn't actually work out for me.
The quest for girls, right? the quest
yeah.
for girls and. That just like you failed miserably at that. But, you know, God uses many different things to get our attention. And actually it was a pretty girl that kind of started to, you know, wet your whistle, so to speak, for your faith.
Right. It was just during my freshman year, I remember just walking down to the basement one day and observing this pretty girl with a bunch of her friends. And I just thought, oh, they're doing something over there. And so I walk over to their group, and the pretty girl invites me to sit. And it turns out it's a Bible study. And so they're reading the Song of Solomon and talking about sex and intimacy in the Bible. And one of the first things I read in the Bible was the verse, like her breasts are like fawns. And I looked at that and I was like, oh, wow, this is the Bible.
Yeah, I think I'll start reading it, huh? All of a sudden, it had new life, new meaning to you. So here you are, and, you know, you find that the Bible actually can be very interesting in a way that you never expected it to be. And you started going to these Bible studies. How did that start to progress you? How did things start to move you towards the Lord?
That particular Bible study was a part of the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship chapter at my university. And so as I kept going to these Bible studies, they kept inviting me to a large group service that happened on Thursday nights. And so there was this young man that met me at one of these meetings, and he was apparently praying for God to bring to him a young man that he could disciple and invest in before he graduated. He was a senior at the time. And so he meets me at one of these meetings, and he immediately just like was drawn to me, and he starts taking me to the cafeteria for lunch or dinner every single week, answering many, many of my questions about God, about Jesus. And that really helped me understand who God is.
I think that's great because, you know, to even have that prayer request, you know, God, before I leave this job or before I leave this school, you know, give me someone that I can impart to, that I can share who you are with, and God answered immediately. And so here he is, he's mentoring you, you're going through Bible studies, but it still didn't click for you yet. What was that moment in time where it just started to come together?
It was around Easter or so, and so there were a lot of book studies and Bible studies about Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection and such. And so Matt led me to read Luke chapter 23, and I remember just reading about Jesus with the two criminals on his left and right, and what got me so much about that story wasn't particularly the first guy that was mocking Jesus, but it was the second guy. He looked at Jesus and said, like wow, like, you know, we, the criminals, deserve to be here before, you know, we have done wrong, but you have done nothing. And in my mind, I'm like, he's thinking to himself, like Lord, like, what are you doing here? And then he asked Jesus, like, Lord, will you remember me when you enter into your kingdom? And so I read that verse, and I'm thinking in my head, well, no, criminal, you're condemned to death, you're going to die on your cross, and you've done nothing with your life. And when Jesus said, truly, truly, I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise, I just said, like, who are you, Jesus? Like, what is this? And I had a revelation in that moment that I was that criminal, and my sins have condemned me to my own cross that I cannot get off of, and that salvation was a free gift given to us.
That is absolutely perfectly said, and it's amazing how clear the Holy Spirit spoke to you in that moment and just revealed to you that that thief on the cross is who we all are without the Lord, and we are deserving of our punishment because of his perfect love, that we can actually experience who he is, and that's what did it for you, right? That understanding that God's love was the key, that Jesus was actually everything that we needed, and accepting his love was all that you needed to do.
Right.
Amen. When we come back, we're going to go more into the story of how God has led Xavier and continues.
Oh.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
How he loves us. Oh, how God loves us. Many of us know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Do you also know what Xavier found out? Found in Romans 5:8, it says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were that cross, that thief on the cross that didn't deserve anything but our punishment. But our Savior says, if you accept me, if you trust me, if you believe in my love, then I will grant you eternal life, eternal power for this life that you live, as well as for eternity with me. So that was a very powerful moment, Xavier, that here you are, you're reading the Word of God, and it, and you're reading it almost as a story, as a piece of history, and then it dawns on you, wait a minute, this is more than that. You know, Jesus is more than who I thought he was. And in the moment that you get that revelation, you know, it all became clear to you then. So it's very interesting that pretty much as soon as you made your commitment to the Lord, God started to tug on your heart in a very interesting way. What did you start to feel that you wanted to do?
Yeah, like within months of that experience, I felt God calling me to missions. And at that time, I didn't know what the word missionary was. I just heard a sermon about Jesus talking to a woman at the well, and I just thought, well, Jesus, I can do that. And just started giving me dreams about going to different countries and sharing the gospel with so many different kinds of people. And then I had a roommate during my sophomore year of college. He organized a trip to Guatemala. So I went to Guatemala for about 2 weeks, and I saw what was happening there. And there was a trip to Nashville later on in the year, and I went to that as well. And so God just opened up all these opportunities to go and serve people in different places.
I find it so interesting because, you know, you really were coming to all this raw. You hadn't been indoctrinated in all of these words. And so you just had this desire to share the Word of God with others, and didn't even know it was called missions. But God, you know, started to open it up to you. And in fact, you shared an interesting story with me about your major study. And explain to us what hydrogeology is and how you started to connect that with even sharing the gospel.
So hydrogeology is the study of a subsurface water flow. I was a geology major in college, and so that tied in a lot to Jesus with the woman at the well, where I was just thinking that I could use my degree to go to different countries and serve them with that. I got a connection with this equation called Darcy's Law. It's an equation that describes discharge of water in a sand-based aquifer, and I was just thinking, like, you know, as water flows through sand, I would like your spirit to flow through me, God. And if you could use me in that sort of way, I would love it.
That's precious because, you know, there's so much type and correlation to how we can use water and the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and to really explain how God moves. And so this idea that as you study water and talk to people about water and build wells to provide natural water, you would have the opportunity also to talk to them about, you know, spiritual water, living water, just like Jesus did for the woman at the well. So that's awesome. And then he starts to show you, hey, this is completely normal. I have people that I'm calling to go to many different places and do this in many different ways. And so for you, it could be water. For someone else, it's building a house. I know someone who installs refrigerators. I'm like, that is amazing. She actually builds them and installs them into the housing units. So there's many different ways that, you know, the Lord can use all of us. You know, some of us can't actually physically go, but we could help to send someone, or we can support someone with a card, a letter of encouragement, things of that nature. So here it is. You're now aware of what missions is, and you know that you have this tug to do this. How do you begin to pursue this desire? You know, how do you find your way?
That happened during my senior year of college. There was a staff worker at my university that told us about the university's Urbana's mission conference, and he challenged us students to go in an interesting way. He just said, don't bother going to Urbana if you don't want God to use you. And I thought of that, and I said, that's interesting. I'll do it. I'll accept your challenge. And so I go to Urbana, and I'm walking around the exhibition floor, and I'm looking for different engineering ministries. And I figured, like, that's what God was calling me to do.
Sorry, I didn't hear you. You were looking for what type of ministries?
Engineering ministries.
Ah, okay.
So
okay.
I was looking for different kinds of engineering ministries, and I was talking to different people, and I felt, honestly, no peace about it. And I felt like God was saying I need to go to a different place. I ran into this ministry that said that they share the gospel with college students, and amazed by it, where I said, well, that's exactly how I received the gospel. And I would absolutely love to be a part of this ministry. And as they were sharing story after story of these college students, my heart just leapt. And I was excited and even honored that God would find it fitting for me to join this kind of ministry.
It really is just showing how God is guiding you, almost leading you every step of the way. So you join this organization, and this is Campus Target, correct?
Right.
Okay. So now you decide to go on a short-term run with them, a short-term mission trip, for lack of a better word. And what was that experience like?
It changed my whole life. I lived in Asia for about 9 months, and I remember just sharing the gospel with many people. And what really got me was just sharing with these college students that a lot of them have just literally never heard of Jesus' name before. And so I would start ministering to them in English, and they would say, I don't know who that is. And so I would speak in their language, and they would repeat to me, I still don't know who that is. And
so you're saying to me that they had never heard the name Jesus. They're just like, who are you talking about? As if, yeah, you know, you're referring to a historical figure of some sort, and they're just like, who is Jesus?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. And I lost sleep over it. And I was just thinking that, like this is insane. Whether these are, you know, educated college students, and they have never heard of Jesus. And my intentions were to do a 9 month stint and then return to the States. But after seeing this often, I feel like God just totally changed my heart. And I just prayed a simple prayer, just saying, you know, God, if you need a man to be here and minister to these students, let me know.
Wow. I love that prayer. It's so simple, so clean, so uncluttered by all of the things that we tend to clutter prayers with in terms of our needs and our wants and our expectations. Let me talk about that for a little bit. I mean, here you are a young man, you are African American, you're in Asia. I mean, did you ever have any kind of concern about the decision you were making? Did you ever have any questions that flowed through your head like, I wonder?
Plenty of them where I was thinking about the different languages in Asia and how they're all difficult. And even just being an African American in Asia, just you stick out so much. I was actually worried that I would do something ridiculous And people in the neighborhood would start saying, oh, the black guy did it. And everyone knows exactly who that is.
No, you don't want that. That's definitely not what you want. So let's talk about the language issue. When you go on short term, are you required to kind of learn the language? And how did that work with you in terms of language?
No, as a short-term worker, we were not required to learn the language per se. I mean, you want to order your food and such, so you know enough to get by. But for me personally, I just remember ministering to some of the students, and when we would share in English, they wouldn't understand some terms, or some things would be more difficult for them to grasp. And so I just felt like God just say, hey, study the language. And so I just started picking up like language books, studying all the time, and he pretty much just gave me the language. Within, I want to say, 3 months or so of study, I had a 40-minute conversation just solely just not using English at all.
If anyone knows about the languages that come out of Asia, I mean, Japanese, Chinese, they all have more letters in the alphabet, more strokes per letter, more ability, meaning to each image and each phrase. And so for you to have had the ability to do this in a short term kind of way seems to indicate to me that God rested his hand on you and actually gave you the ability to learn these languages.
I have like proficiency in like Chinese and Japanese, and so I was able to read at this current time I could read about 3,000 or so characters, pretty books and magazines and such. But I feel like God's really blessed my language ability. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's definitely not the normal time frame for learning that language. I remember when I was in college, I had a Spanish tutor who knew a number of other languages. And one day I saw him, he looked so miserable. I'm like, what's going on with you? He's like, I'm learning Arabic and I feel like my brain is bleeding, because there was just so much to wrap your head around that's so different than, and this is definitely a gift of the Spirit, and many of us don't attribute it to being a gift, but it is a spiritual gift, and so clearly God gave that to you, and that was another indication that this is where he wanted you. While you were there during your short stint, can you talk to us about a powerful just experience that you had, just as someone trying to share the gospel with people who've never heard of you, who never heard of Jesus, never heard of his name?
Yeah, there's this one story. I was on a university, and one way that we meet college students is playing basketball. That's what 20-year-old males do outside of class. And so I met this one student named Cliff, and he and I played basketball for several hours. We had a good rapport. He invited me to his university in the south part of the city, and he invites three of his roommates. And so I bring one of my ministry partners along with me, and we sit. We have dinner with these four guys, and we share the gospel with them later that night. On a basketball court, and all four of them get saved, and I was just blown away that how a basketball and a cup of noodles like could go and actually speak to people, and using that for Jesus' glory, and they actually all started being discipled, and they're still Christians to this day. One of them, in fact, is in South Africa. He's an intern over there.
So one of the four that you spoke to is actually now doing missions himself.
Like he found employment in South Africa, and I just know that he's using that as a way to share the gospel with the various people around him.
See, this shows you that God has no limitations. He does not care about the color of our skin. He does not care about what part of the planet. Every person has a hole in their heart, and the only one who can fill that hole is the Lord Jesus Christ. And once that is filled, we become brothers and sisters with each other, and the joy that we have is being able to go into his presence, being able to ask simple prayers, you know, like your friend Matt saying, Lord, give me someone to disciple before I graduate, and he gives him you. You saying, God, if you need a man here in Asia to tell these college kids about who you are, here I am. And then he just makes the way plain for you. So it shows that, you know, God hears the prayers of his people, and he honors those prayers, and we cannot think that our prayers aren't important, aren't being answered. It's just an issue of understanding that that throne of grace is available to us and that we can enter in any time. When we come back, we'll hear what God is doing in Xavier's life right now.
But Christ's merits alone, I'm crying out for mercy as I magnify your name. You amplified the pain of the Lamb of God who was slain. So truly, I only have one request that'll suit me. Please open up my eyes to better behold his beauty.
Yeah. And I pray all of these things in the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Inspiration through word and song for you.
That was the artist Shyline from the Atonement CD called The Throne of Grace. And we are speaking with Xavier here, who is about to go to missions. Now, you might have noticed we're a little vague about certain things. I didn't mention his last name. We haven't said where in Asia he's going, and that is because of the fact that this is the work of God, and we do want to protect his servants as they go out. And so we don't know John's last name or Peter's last name. It didn't matter. We just had their first name, and we knew what they were doing for the Lord. And so this has been verified and validated, and we know that this young man is going out there and doing this thing for the Lord. So here we are. You know, you're graduating. You have decided that you're going to do a five-year stint in Asia. You're going to go back, and you're going to do 5 years. And so I want to know about, you know, I want to go back to your parents, the ones who gave you that math book and Game Boy and wanted you to stay off the streets and out of trouble. And here you are, you're running into what most people might look at as running right into trouble or the face of danger or something like that. So how did that conversation go? What did they think about your trip to Asia and your wanting to be there?
Yeah, the conversation was pretty hard. I love my parents. I respect them so much. For me, just the idea of going to Asia the first time, they're curious as to what I was doing and if I would be safe and such. But really, just at the end of the day, I love them like so much for this. They just said, you've been such a good son to us, and you didn't give us really any trouble while you were a child, I mean, here and there. But they just said, they just released me to do what it is I feel called to do, just and let me go, and as a man, to go and do what it is I feel I need to do.
Now, I want you to elaborate on that a little more, because I think it's so important, because a lot of times young people have ambitions, they have things they want to do. It might be starting their own business. It might be moving to a different part of the country. And they don't know how to begin to have the conversation with their parents if they feel that they're against it. So how did you navigate it? Because you started off by saying it was hard. And I think it would be really beneficial for people to hear, you know, how you were able to walk through that conversation with them and get to a place where you guys kind of respected each other's in the end.
So, yeah, that conversation was really difficult. It was a series of conversations, and it started off with them being rather maybe hostile to the idea, and them really not wanting me to go. And so I had a whole tug in my own heart of like, oh man, I want to respect my parents, but oh man, God's called me to do this thing. And I remember just like sitting in that place for a very long time, unsure of what to do. And so I tried to start the conversation with just ensuring them that that this was not a waste of my time and no waste of my talent. Where I even told them that at the end of all this, guys, I'll be an African American male with a science degree, and I'll be able to speak four languages. And I told them that, and they we all laughed about it. But the real conversation started with just me just commenting on what they said to me as a child. They just said that, you know, when I was growing up, and rather good child to them, and I was always obedient, and I listened to them. And I gave them little problems when I was a child. And so I was rather bold and upfront. And I said, what changed now where you guys wanted me to get out of this neighborhood in Brooklyn with no police records and not fooling around with girls? And I've done those things. And I feel like, you know, God really wants me to go over to Asia. Would you let me go? And so they just said, well, yeah, we just we disagree with maybe your method of going, but we respect your decisions as a man. And, if this is what you want to do, then go ahead.
Yeah, I think, you know, your track record really laid a foundation with your parents, because as you were growing up, not that you were this perfect kid or anything, we all have our issues, but you really lived up to their expectations and even beyond. And so at this point, as someone who's an adult now, who's of patience, to be able to say, you know, I respectfully disagree with you. This is what I know God is asking me to do. And then for them to be able to say, yeah, you know, you're right. You did fulfill your end of the bargain. And so, you know, you have my clearance to go forth, even though we still, you know, don't agree or we don't necessarily love the idea. But because of who you were, because of the example that you laid, it there was no case that could be made for you being, you know, reckless or, you know, making a bad decision based on your character, because you had already established that. So here you are. Let's our time is almost gone. You're headed back to Asia, and you are going to be there for 5 years. How are you going to be sustained, and what will your daily activities look like?
As for my daily activities, I'll be on like basketball courts and pretty much wherever students congregate. Meeting students. So that might be a basketball court, that might be a noodle shop, many places. Evangelize amongst them, share the gospel with them, and upon them accepting Christ, doing discipleship, and really mentoring the students, opening up my home, my apartment. I'll be having like other team members and such with me, other missionaries, and so we'll just be working together to reach these students on a daily basis. And
so this is like a 9-to-5 check-in, check-out. It's really a day-in kind of living, breathing all the time thing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We totally immerse ourselves in the culture and in what the people do. And as for how all this works, financially and such, I'm currently just raising raising funds to go over to Asia, and so I ask people to partner with me for various monetary amounts per month to sustain me while I'm over in Asia.
So actually the way Campus Target works is that those who've decided to go, they actually need to raise their own salaries, and that's what you will be sustaining you while you're out there, correct?
Right.
Okay, and so your estimation, what do you think that you would need per month in order to, be able to meet your needs, you know, food and rent and all that stuff while you're out there?
About $2,000 a month would do it wonderfully.
All right. $2,000 a month is about half of what we live on here per month. So that's definitely a realistic number. And so you're saying each person can contribute, like if I say I can give you $5 a month and someone else can give you $25 a month or $50 a month, that's how it works?
Yes, that's exactly how it works.
Okay. And well, what I have done, for those of you who are listening, there is a link on this page that says giving donation. It takes you to the link of Xavier's page, and you will notice again his name will not be on the page, but the organization and the information is there, and you can simply make your donation, and you can decide whether or not you want this to be a one-time donation or if you want to fund him each month towards his salary there. And you know, Xavier, I've just got to tell you that your story is so moving and impacting to have a young man, you're 24, 25?
I'm 23.
23, wow. You know, to make this decision for the Lord and be so committed and to have already mastered the language, I believe that God's got great work So I'm looking forward to you getting everything that you need. When will you be heading out?
I'm praying for after Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Head on that plane.
All right. So Don't Give Up, listeners. Let's not delay. If you can support this young man, please go ahead, click the link, and do so. You've been listening to Don't Give Up Radio. Until tomorrow, I want you to continue to realize, be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all said that you are worth it when he gave his life for you. Till then, be well and be a blessing.
The song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Heavenly sound. Let praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this.
He reigns.
All God's children singing glory.